One of the stories that I've heard before, but it was just raised again, was the story of this old man that's as big as this, and he's got really gray hair, and he was going into a nation called Sudan to go and share the gospel. In Sudan, if they catch you with a Bible, or they catch you trying to convert Muslims to Christianity, they're allowed to shoot you right there. And this man stood there in front of the shooting peloton, and he started weeping and with a big grin on his face. And the guy that's holding this AK-47 said to him, "Why are you laughing?" He says, "Are you not afraid to die?" And he said to him, "No, I'm not afraid to die. I'm going to my great Savior." They said, "What do you have to say before you die?" He said, "I'm asking one thing, if I can pray for you." And as he walked forward to pray for them, these guys, the shooting battalion, fell down as the power of God just came upon them. And as they came awakening from this, what just happened, they saw this man sitting here. And God made an appointment there to touch those men's lives. Rebels, they wanted to kill him. And he shared the gospel with them. And those men planted churches in Africa for God, after God touched them. Another story of a guy, a Bible teacher from America, who thought, "Nah, he knows everything in the Bible. He's been teaching the Bible for so many years. He's got so many doctrinal degrees. He's been studying the Word of God since he's this big." Goes into a place called China. Gets invited to go and speak to a couple of Christians. He gets there to this church meeting where there's leaders. And they cram 60 Christians in one room that is not bigger than our average garage. They say to him, "Sir, what are you going to teach us?" He says, "I will teach you from the book of Genesis." So for 1 week, he teaches them from the book of Genesis up into the book of Malachi, the whole Old Testament. The first day he teaches, they say to him, he asks them, "How long can we go for?" They say, "No, the whole day." So he starts teaching. He says, it went like this. There was no breaks in between. They were totally feasting off the Word of God. The second day, he thought, "How long will we teach for?" They said, "No, let's just go." The second day went like this. 12 hours in the Word of God. They got to Friday. He had to leave on Saturday. They said, "Sir, you've showed us this Old Testament. What about the new one? What about the New Testament?" He said, "I don't have time." They said to him, "Sir, for we are here now." They canceled their work appointments. They canceled every single thing. And they sat through the night, this guy teaching them the New Testament. A hunger for the Word of God. My brother phoned me up recently. He said, they went out to an outreach, and there was a young boy there that they prayed for that was totally blind. Never seen in his life. Born blind. They prayed for him. Nothing happens. As they are busy packing up the equipment, all of a sudden they just hear somebody shouting in his own native tongue, "I can see, I can see, I can see." And the sight has been restored to that boy's eye. He is worshiping Jesus Christ today. They forgot about the prayer that they prayed. But God hears every prayer. I know a man that was saved a few years back, that was living in the world. He was living in his own ways, his own mindset, his own thoughts. And God came and met with him in his room. And God captivated his soul. God poured out his love and his mercy upon that man. And I've seen that man grow. Where he was here, he's just going all the way up to heaven. He's working his way. Not his salvation. He's not working his salvation. He's doing the things because he has a hunger for God. He wants to read his word. He wants to pray. He wants to step out into society and go and be bold for Jesus Christ. Not because it's a requirement. It's because he wants to share this treasure. What did the man do that found the treasure in the field? He didn't go dig up the treasure and kept it for himself. He went and sold every single thing he had. Every single thing he had. So that he could buy that field just for that treasure. I heard a story long ago. What happened was this guy in Mozambique, he wanted a Bible. I loved Bibles, and I've started to collect Bibles, and this morning Reg gave me a Bible from 1910. But this guy wanted a Bible, and he couldn't get a Bible. He didn't have money. The place that he stayed was rural. And God said to him, go to the certain area, and I will send somebody with a Bible. Back in South Africa, there's a man there. And God lays something on his heart. He tells him, take this crate of Bibles and fly to this location that I will show you. And go and drop it off. For 3 days, that man sat underneath a tree, holding on to the word that God gave him, that he will receive a Bible. 3 days. God didn't tell him it's going to be 3 days. How many times does God tell us to go to a certain thing, go through a certain thing, and we're expecting results? That man waited for God. That chopper that was sent landed right next to that tree. And that man received not just one Bible, but a whole crate that he distributed among his fellow believers. What give? What is the thing that gives these guys this hunger for Jesus? What is that thing? What is the thing of that man? He's got a gun facing to his head, standing there, ready to die. And then still, he reaches out to that person who wants to kill him. It doesn't make sense. Why did those guys give everything up? Every single day, they said, we're not going to farm today, we're going to not go plow the lands, because we want to have this word, we want to receive this word, we want to understand this word that Jesus gave us, this holy scripture that God breathed out. What is the thing that made that guy be obedient? You know how much it costs to fly a chopper, to rent a chopper, to take a chopper? It's thousands of pounds. What made him do that? It's called the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can smile now. Let's divide this gospel into 3 points. I don't want to come and do a theology study. I'm not it. I just want to show you something. I feel God is stirring my heart again after this LTT, of this Equip time, Churches Together time. And there's really just one thing. It's called Jesus. I know there's a triune God, and I believe in that. But if it wasn't for the Jesus Christ that came and died on that cross for you and me, so that we can be righteous with God, I wouldn't stand here, friends. A lot of things could have happened. I could have become a major successful businessman. I could have chased the money, and I could have idolized mammon. I could have run off the money my whole life, but that will never satisfy this thing in my heart. I could have run off the drugs. I was there. I could have done it. Easy. But that's not the thing that God had for me. That's not the thing that would have satisfied this thing. I could have ran after all these worldly things, but that is not the thing that God had for us. Today I can walk out here I can be rebuked. I don't care. I'm preaching for Jesus. I want to satisfy Jesus. He came and changed my life. He ripped me out of the hands of the devil, out of the lies of this world, so that I can stand in His presence, so that I can be righteous with our King. 3 points. 3 fundamental things of the gospel. The revelation of who God is, point number one. Point number two, who we are. And point number three, how we can be reconciled to our great King. Today we are living in a society where there's gods in people's minds, that they worship a certain thing, they can maybe worship one attribute of God, because it only suits their lifestyle, it only suits their way of thinking, it only suits the comfort of their lives. We are also living in a society where it's easy to water down this gospel of Jesus Christ. We can maybe just take certain things, like the love of God. God gives good gifts. God gives gifts that will please us. God will use us. We can easily just take the things that will suit us in our life. We can suit our lifestyle, the way we are running, the vision, and the values of our lives. So what is happening now is we're not making Jesus the center of everything, because if Jesus was the center of everything, my brothers and sisters in China, Jesus is the center there. But what's happening is now, as we can add Jesus on, I'll just put Jesus here in the back pocket. All right. If I need him, let's check my app. Okay, cool. Sorted. Oh, I need him now. Wait, where am I going? Okay, maps. Thing. Okay, great. Jesus is not that. Jesus must be here. Jesus must be the motivation for everything. Let's ask ourselves, the gospel that we know today, is it biblical? Oh, Sean, you can't say that. Why not? What is the primary reward? The primary reward of this gospel? For me to be in heaven. Well, if I read the Bible, the primary reward of this gospel is the will of God. Oh man, God is good. So let's start at the first point. Who is God? I can give you all the names of God, all the scriptures of God, and we can sit here from today till next week Sunday. And you won't get tired, I promise you that. If you have a hunger for God. The first name of God that I thought will be a great name, because He is the Creator, yeah, is Elohim, Genesis 1 verse 1. Isaiah 40:28. He's also called Jehovah, the self-existent one. God is not created. Scripture for that, Exodus 3 verse 14, Isaiah 43:13, Revelation 1:18. First book in the Bible, Genesis. Last book in the Bible, Revelation. The beginning and the beginning. Emmanuel, God with us. Jehovah Jireh, Genesis 22:1-14. For Emmanuel, scripture there is Isaiah 7 verse 14, Matthew 1:23. Please, I'm just giving scriptures, but that's just like a reference point. Go and read these scriptures, friends. Go and read it in context so you can see that these things are biblical. It's not just putting them in there to suit my preach. Another name is El Shaddai, God Almighty, the All-Sufficient One. I've heard a lady before quote all these names, every single one. And I asked her, do you know these names of heart? We taught it. He said, no, I went and studied who God is. You know that convicted me? I thought, sheesh. God is not just love. God is not just my provider. Look at all these things. God is, we cannot limit God. God can't be contained. I can only fill this glass of water to here. Our mindsets, friends, are like this. I read a great thing. If I take this cup and I walk down to the harbor, and I take this little wee glass and I pluck it in that water, or I go to the Atlantic Ocean and I pluck it into that Atlantic Ocean, that amount that goes up to there, that will maybe just overflow as well, is me understanding what God is. But how much still is left in that ocean? If I take the earth and I elevate myself, let's say 18,000 miles up into the air, and I'm in space, okay? So now I'm in space, so I can still see the earth. So let's go light years. Let's keep it simple. 1,000 light years. Boom. We don't even see the moon now anymore. We'll see a little glimpse on earth. We'll see maybe the sun, which is the smallest star in our galaxy, by the way, that we can see clearly every day. So let's shoot out of that. What's the number? Let's make it something ridiculous. 1 billion light year, you will still be in space. There is no end with God. They can't build a big enough telescope to see what is out there in space. The guy said, we can't build a big enough telescope to see what's out there, but we can see glimpses of other galaxies. Glimpses. That's how God created that. So we can agree, God knows all things. He sustains all things. God owns all things. He owns the cattle on the hill. We see? You like that scripture, I know. He is righteous in his love and in his wrath. God is a good judge. God is a good judge. My mom, I love her very much. So let's say she stays in South Africa. That's a very high crime rate. And I hear my mom was shot point blank dead. Now they caught the guy that shot her. No mercy, no grace. He just shot her. No compassion. He just killed her right there. Now he appears for the judge. My father on the one side, the guilty person on the other side. And he asks this man, are you guilty of shooting that lady? Yes, I am. And then he comes up and he says, but Your Honor, my name is Richard Branston. And I've given so much money to all these charities. I own all these things. I've done all these amazing things. I must be let... you can let me go now. Because the good I did is totally outnumbering the bad I did. If that was a good judge, that judge said judging, will he send him to prison? Or will he let him go free? If he was a good judge, he will send him to prison. God is a good judge. If God is God and he's a good judge, how much more will he outnumber any judge on earth? Remember just one thing, friends. We cannot change God. We cannot change God. In Habakkuk 1 verse 13 it says, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. But before you start throwing stones at me, we need to understand one thing. God doesn't hate the sinner. God hates sin. God's wrath burns against sin. And because you are the one that's sinning, and you are in a state of sin, his wrath is against you. His wrath is against the sinner because of sin. God hates sin. We cannot get around that. We don't need to read far in the Bible to see that he doesn't like sin. Genesis 3, right there, what happens? That's why God had to send Jesus. And Jesus wasn't just sent because of his like a check in the post. Get that picture out of your head. He's no check. Jesus came willing. He wanted to die for you and for me. One thing I want to emphasize on. We can't just take the good scriptures out of this book to suit our lifestyle. When you get to a scripture that's confronting you, friend, we need to deal with these things. I need to deal with these things. I still need to deal with these things. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son." In that same chapter, in verse 36, John 3:36, one of the most neglected verses in the Word of God, says the following. "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." I read a book recently. I'm not telling you to go out and buy this book. I just want to read something that this guy said in this book. And when I read this, it really just gripped my heart. And it told me, "Wake up, Sean." It says the following. It says, "The gospel reveals eternal realities about God. What we would sometimes rather not face. We prefer to sit back, enjoy the clicks, and picture God as a father who might help us, all the while ignoring God as a judge who might damn us. Maybe this is why we fill our lives with the constant trouble of entertainment in our culture and in the church. We are afraid that if we stop and really look at God in His Word, we might discover that He evokes greater awe and demands deeper worship than we are already giving Him." People say, "Oh man, I'm struggling to read the Bible." One thing I need to ask that person is, are you choosing not to read the Bible? Because you know, when you read that Bible's going to change you into something that you're afraid to become. But God is a good God. He sent His Son Jesus. He's a loving Father. His grace is merciful. He gives us grace every day so that we can have a reality and a relationship with our Father. Who knows that this Bible is an amazing book? You can find any answer in life in this Bible. Any answer. You can see that God is love, and you can see He's a provider. You can see that God is gracious, He's merciful, He's a judging God, He's righteous, and He's eternal. All out of this book. I went out to street evangelism the other day. This one guy came up to me. He said, "There's no God." I said, "How can you say that?" He said, "Because you can't prove it." I said, "You prove to me today, right now, there is no God. And I won't believe there's a God." He said, "How can you prove there's no God? There is a God." I said, "It's easy. We got the Word of God." He said, "Oh, that's not accurate." I said, "Why?" "Because you say that. Because you heard somebody say that." He said, "You open this Bible, show it, it's not accurate, and I'll believe you." So we go over the table, 5 minutes, he's telling me, "He's right, I'm wrong, he's right," and we just... So I said to him, "Stop. Let's go and sit around the table, and I'll explain to you that Jesus is alive. History proves it." And this guy gets so angry at me. He curses me. I'm like, hallelujah. But I'm not bragging to being cursed. The one thing that people can't get around is the fact that Jesus exists. Jesus is alive. God is real. And He is serious about you and me. So who are we? Well, let's look at the Bible. Genesis Genesis 8, verse 21 says the following. And my printer is broken, so I have to read out of the Bible. And the Lord smelt a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. Luke 11 verse 13 says the following. Come on. And he was cast out, a demon. And what was that? 11:13. Sorry. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Jesus himself said that. That's red letters in my Bible. You who are evil can give good gifts. How much more will your Father in heaven not give you? And then on Jeremiah 17, verse 9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. You don't need to read far in the Bible. I try to spread it around in this Bible to see more or less where we're going to end up. Just to see that it's everywhere in the Bible. That who we are wicked. The reason? Adam and Eve. Why? Disobedience equals sin. And Jesus himself said in Genesis 3, the devil himself actually said this. I don't want to give him glory, but he said, God said to you that sin will lead to death. Sin leads to death. That's where we are. We are sitting with this thing. I do believe God is sovereign. And I do believe God gives good things to people. And he wants every single person to be in heaven. I truly believe that. And I truly believe that Jesus came down and died for every single one of us. For our sins. For our mindsets. For every single thing. I do believe it because the Word of God says that. That's why I believe it. But Duncan Campbell said this. He says, I believe, yes, God is sovereign, but I don't believe in a sovereign God that doesn't give man any responsibility. There is still a response on our side. God will never force anything upon you. God tells, paraphrase the scripture in Job, God tells the lightning bolts to stand aside. He will tell them to go. He stores up the hills and the heavens to use for him. He's got rain. Jesus himself told the storm to calm down. He will not tell you to do anything, to force you into anything. You have to make that decision. Jesus himself said, I came to you so that you can know the Father. Then through me you can know the Father. Jesus said, I'm doing things to please the Father. Those guys in China, when they tasted who God was, who Jesus was, that was what motivating them to tell, oh no, I'm putting that to side. I want to know God more. When that guy looked into the barrel of that gun and he had a smile and tears were flowing down his cheeks, he had the Savior in his heart. He had Jesus in his heart. The reason why all these men go through these things, it's because Jesus came and took away those sin. Took away that broken relationship. In Romans 6 verse 23 it says, for the wages of sin is death. But it's easier, Sean, to use basic principles in life and to adapt them so that I can live in this thing that God has for me. I didn't set the rules. I didn't write the Bible. God did. And I want to stay where God wants me to be. I don't want to add Jesus to my life. I need to make him my life. It was easy for me to make Jesus, to add Jesus into my life. With all the drinking, partying, all of those things. But when I had to make Jesus the center of my life, I had to repent. And the repentance I'm talking is not a hard repentance. It's saying and getting to a place where I realize that I'm not right with God. That if this Bible is lifted up and I measure myself against this book, I'm not making the cut. But Jesus came, took away that sinful nature. And by sanctification, by His Holy Spirit, He's purifying me. He's getting me to a place where my mindset is changing. Where I'm getting to a place where I can't get to wake up so that I can read this word. I can't wait to pray with my brothers. I can't wait to come here to see people that I love. I can't wait to tell people about this good news. I shared the gospel with a guy at work one day. I said to him this. We were chatting and stuff, and all of a sudden I just felt the Holy Spirit stir my heart to say this thing. I said, mate, who taught you to be naughty? I said, forget all the cousins and the brothers and stuff. When your mom said, don't run over the street, and you looked at her and you went, who taught you that? When your mom fed you and told you not to slap the spoon out of her hand while she's feeding you, and you constantly knew what she was telling you, who taught you that? And he looked at me, he said, nobody. It was inside of me. I said, that's exactly the thing. That's our nature. We can't get around this thing, friends. I can easily make a man gospel. Attend church, pray every morning, do the right thing when it suits me. But in my private room, I fall. Malcolm says this thing a lot. I've heard Skipper say it too. Those who fall in public has already fallen in private. Just because church members don't see what's happening where you are alone doesn't mean God doesn't see it. God sees all things and He knows our hearts. But now I'm getting to the good news and to the thing that changed our lives. Jesus. Jesus Christ. The Jesus that this week was hammered upon, telling us about Jesus, 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 Jesus. The Jesus that came and changed your life, your life, your life, every single one of us because we are sitting here. The Jesus that reconciles us with God. The Jesus that reconciles us with the Almighty Father. Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew 26, He said, Father, for let this cup pass by me. He didn't say that because He was going to die on the cross. You think Jesus Christ, He's God, eh? He was standing there. Yeah, there was a reality. He was a man. But He wasn't crying and sweating blood because of that thing. You know why He was sweating blood? You know why He was in agony? It's because He was going to be out of the presence of God. He's going to be out of His Father's presence. Some of us has been so long out of the Father's presence that we've become hard as rocks. We're so used to living our lives, worshiping ourselves. Doesn't matter not living for God. Friends, I don't want to see you there. I want you there next to Jesus in heaven. That's why I'm preaching this preaching. I want people to know Jesus for who He is. Jesus said afterwards, He said, yes, Father, I will take this if it's your will. Jesus did nothing if it wasn't His Father's will. We as the church need to be real with ourselves. One of the things that was hammered upon in this week was, are we doing the will of the Father? Whew, Sean, you can't ask these questions. The Word tells us. Doubting Thomas. We all know Doubting Thomas. He wanted to stick his finger in the hole of Jesus in his hand and touch where the spear went in. Why did that man, why was he martyred for Jesus Christ? When that guy walked 4 days to get to that place to get a Bible, what was the reason for that? When Jesus comes to save your soul, he comes and gives you a new desire. And that desire is to do the will of the Father. And that is why those men are putting things aside to know, to get to know this word. That is why people are literally putting themselves down, dying to themselves, because they want more of this amazing God. Yeah, you are saved. But are you doing the will of the Father? We need to understand the gospel. We need to live in the gospel. We need to appreciate this gospel. We need to appreciate Jesus. Men, do we appreciate Jesus when we look at pornography? Even ladies, do we appreciate our Father when we do not honor Him? When we put ourselves above Him? Jesus died for us to set you and me free, to reconcile our hearts with Him. In Romans 8, verse 12, I'm going to read the following. Please, friends, hear my heart. I'm not here to be hard. I want reality. We have so many questions in the church today. All of it's in here. All the answers. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be together. There's a reality. It's not going to be easy. Jesus Himself said, for broad is the road and big is the gate that leads to death and destruction. But narrow is the road and small is the gate that leads to everlasting life. And then right after that, He speaks about persecution. And then He speaks about the servant is not greater than the master. I asked somebody the question the other day. I said, if you had a servant and you get home and the servant's sitting at a table, he's got china, eating out of the best plates, eating steaks like this, mashed potatoes like this, and he's drinking big barrels like this, and you sitting in the corner eating a piece of toast. What's wrong with that picture? Jesus is our master. I'm not saying go sit in the corner and eat toast, not at all. I'm saying, let's keep Jesus the main thing. We are not above Jesus. We are not above Jesus. He is the name above every name. He is the name that saved you and me. He is the name that wants to set you free from whatever is bounding you. Maybe you're fighting. Maybe you're fighting with yourself right now. Maybe you're fighting with others. Maybe you're struggling with some certain sin in your life. I want to tell you, there's no place for the devil underneath our feet. Cast him away and look to Jesus and you won't struggle anymore. Oh, I'm struggling, Sean. Man, it's the sin of anger in my heart. I just want to rip people's heads off. You look to Jesus and that thing will disappear. The Bible says that we need to lay down these things because of Jesus. He came and paid the price. Jesus came and paid the price. Not you and me. The only reason why we are righteous with God and reconciled with the Father is because of Jesus. It's because of Jesus. And I'm saying with a lot of love. I know I can sometimes come over a bit strong, but I need to make my point. Jesus is alive. That grave is empty. And He's in heaven. The Bible says that He is preparing mansions for you and me. You need to ask yourself a question. Are you a son or a daughter of God? Or am I still a servant? Because a servant, he doesn't worry about the sheep. He doesn't worry. I used to work for a company, and what we used to do is we used to give people vehicles to drive with. And true as Bob, not even a week will go by. As soon as that person will start, big scratch on the body, or the wheel is knocked into somewhere, I don't know where, something will happen. Some guys just rolled vehicles in a week's time. And my boss, I said to my boss, yes, this is terrible. He says, they don't look after my stuff because they're not sons in the house. If we are sons in the house, we will take this seriously. We will take Jesus seriously. Anything that is standing between myself and Jesus is a problem. I need to be here with Him. I need to be here with Him. 12 disciples. One fell away, replaced by another one. All of them, except for John, were martyred for the gospel. I don't want you to feel condemned. Not at all. I want you to rejoice in the victory that is in Jesus Christ. I want you to praise God for us living in His mercy. I want you to understand that Jesus is alive and that He gives good gifts to those who follow Him. He wants you to be a son and a daughter in the house. He wants us to eat this word. He wants us to run for Him. And He's going to give you joy, and He's going to give you pleasure, and He's going to give you all these great things that is upon us. But the Bible says clearly in Matthew 6, verse 33, it says, "For seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will follow." When we seek God, those things will not be a problem for us. I want to encourage you this morning. Jesus paid the ultimate price. He reconciled us with the Father. We need to rejoice in that. Let's pray.